You're listening to Auto D, coming at you live.
Yes, which way, what, when, how? Mr. Auto D, flip the track right now.
Hey, I'm Auto D. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to listen to some great music and talk to some really cool people. And I know there's a lot of things you could be doing, so I appreciate that you're getting with this. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Auto D Show. I am your host, Otto Daniolo, and tonight I'll be visiting with an old friend that happens to be a really good guy to know if you're a band in town and you want to get a gig. His name is Brian, and you will meet him right after this cut from a band called Tin Machine. Never heard of him? See if you can recognize the lead singer's voice. That track and that record. The record's about 15, 20 years old, actually. Sounds kind of modern. That was Tin Machine with lead singer David Bowie and a tune called Amazing. Then that band were also Soupy Sales Sons. It was an interesting project. Here on the Auto D Show, you're listening, and it is brought to you by Jet Set Magazine, the world's leading affluent lifestyle publication. You can check them out at jetsetmag.com. And also Scottsdale Studios, the place to go for all of your audio and video production needs. And you can find them at scottsdalestudios.net. If you'd like to be a sponsor of the Auto D Show, then send me an email at otto@autod.com. There's even a button on the page for you. So tonight, my guest is Brian Stubblefield. He's the owner of a production company by the name of Jelly Beans Audio, and we'll get into that. And he's also the production manager of the Apache Lake Music Festival, which is an annual event that just completed its sixth year and sixth festival this past October. Welcome to the show, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for coming in.
It's good to see you again.
Well, it's good to see you.
It's been a while.
There's a lot to talk about. So have you recovered from the festival?
Mostly. Yeah, it took a while. I go up, actually, it's a two-day festival, and I'm there for a week.
a week before and then a couple days after.
Yeah, it's definitely, we take our time and enjoy it. We really do. We spend Sunday breaking down and we try to go out in the boats and enjoy the lake. And then some people leave Sunday and then we stay till Monday. And so then we try to leave Monday. And
sometimes you do.
Most of the time we get out of there. Some years we do. It's late on Monday, but most of the time we get out of there.
Well, you know, it's pretty amazing to think that you have been involved with this thing since the inception, I would imagine, and it's been 6 years now. So tell me a little bit about the festival itself. Like, generally, is it a three-day event with bands, two-day event with bands?
What's generally a two-day event. It's only 1 year it's been three, but it's generally a two-day event. But it's always up for debate. Well, everything's up for debate when it comes to this festival. Every year, it's always up for debate, with the exception of pretty much one standard. And that's that it's a Tempe, Phoenix, local music, Arizona music festival. Mm-hmm. It's about us. It's about our community. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So the reason I'm involved in it, the reason I love it, and the reason people that know it and love it is you try to name another festival. It's been going for 6 years. And then has bands that just volunteer to do it. 178 musicians volunteer their time and their efforts to come up and drive up an amazingly hard road to be able to get there. And they come up there, and they get there after their white knuckle drive, they realize it's a beautiful, amazing spot. And that's another thing about Arizona. If you haven't been out to Apache Lake, Roosevelt, Canyon Lake, all those lakes out there, if you've never been out there, please drive. Go out there and see kind of a just amazing wonder. I'm from the East Coast, and I don't get that. You don't have that out there.
So how many acts are involved over the 2 days?
Usually, right now we're about 32 to 35. This year was 32. So that number seems to be working for us right now. We've been anywhere from, I think year one was 14. Year three was 60-something, 65.
That was like, okay, a little ambitious.
It was a little ambitious.
We want to enjoy the show. We want people to enjoy it.
We got hit by hail that year. It was crazy.
I remember the pictures.
It was pretty nuts. But it was
So what's the size of the audience that comes out that drives out the weekend? Given day, you mean, or across the weekend?
Pretty much across the whole weekend. Actually, this year was the only year that we've offered single-day passes. It's always been a two-day festival kind of thing because, you know, it's a drive to get out there. It's not something that necessarily want to come up there and see, I'm going to catch three bands and then drive home. It's more of a, you know, at least spend a day. So now we offer the single-day passes, and you can come out and enjoy it for the day, which worked out really well this year. People who just couldn't make it, like, I gotta work on Friday, I can't make it out, I want to do Saturday, and then we'll leave on Sunday. It's beautiful. So it worked out really, really well.
And do you have essentially a headliner on each day?
We have a headliner on each day.
And since it's all local talent, how does the headliner get chosen?
Yeah. Kind of like that. It's about who's doing the best right now.
Who's been the one everyone's talking about this year? Who's had a really good year?
Who's having a really good year and is representing us well. And it's not just about having a good year as a band. Apache Lake, or ALF as we lovingly call it, is all about our community, and it's all about who we are as musicians and production people in this town that want to make sure our livelihood continues strong.
Right.
You know, this community has a really great long legacy of wonderful music coming out of here, and we just got lucky doing our part. And after a couple of years, people started to realize it's kind of like a homecoming event.
Right.
You know, and it's
once you've been to one, you're not going to miss the next one. It keeps growing.
Yeah.
Who was the headliner this year on Friday and Saturday?
Friday night was Spafford. Spafford's actually out of Prescott Flagstaff area. Was our headliner there, and then on Saturday, Jared and the Mill.
Okay.
So Jared and the Mill has been
making a lot of noise.
Making a lot of noise, doing a lot of great stuff. Got a great ring record out there, doing wonderful stuff. But really, it's, you know, our headliners are solid, but it's not like one of those festivals where you have headliners and you have this huge chasm between the rest of your bill. The bill was super solid inside stage and outside stage. So leading up to it, you had a band called Chinja Dust from Tucson that was leading into Jared and the Mill. And then you had Phoenix Afrobeat Orchestra on stage before that. I mean, that's just, it's a lineup you just don't see.
No, it's fantastic.
It's great. It's awesome.
Cool.
It was a really great weekend.
And how would you define your role with the festival?
I am production manager. So basically, I think I created that title.
So you're on the phone a lot before the festival.
Yeah. I mean, we all basically sit down and we just kind of figure out what works, what makes sense for what we want to do this year. Who's out there. There's a lot of submissions. A lot of people are sending in, information about their band, wanting to get on the bill going in.
Right.
We have so many spots to work with, and we try to get a feeling of a good day, good 2 days. You know, each day has to work inside and out. It has to basically flow. That's our thing. It's kind of about emotion and about flow. And it's about how, you know, the emotions come from the day.
Cool.
So we start to put that together.
And it's in October. Every year in October, have you moved it around a little bit?
It's been the third weekend in October for the last 2 to 3 years. And that's been the money spot. Yeah.
Okay.
It's right before Oktoberfest and before Halloween. So it works out great.
Well, besides the festival, you also have your own production company, Jelly Beans Audio, and you also are the, I don't know what your title might be, maybe production manager down at Last Exit Live, which is a venue in town as well.
I tend to take that title. I'm like, you know what, I'll take that.
I like that. It fits
like
me well.
You know? It does.
Fits right across the back of my shoulders on the jacket.
It doesn't give me too much responsibility.
People will come to you when they want a question, but you don't have to have the answer.
Yeah.
You're just the production manager.
I'm just the production manager. I like to use that line every once in a while.
So Last Exit Live is another, an organization, a company you were involved with. When the venue was in Tempe before it moved to Phoenix, and you were instrumental in designing that room, setting that room up acoustically.
In Phoenix,
And booking the shows there.
We do. You know, Brandon does a lot of the booking. I tend to have an opinion on how the schedules may go or in terms of the day.
And you run front of house for most of the shows in the venue or
I
half
do.
The shows?
I do. Most of the shows. Okay. I pretty much only when I'm got to come here and do this, like something like that. I have some people that come in and help out, but I definitely.
So you skipped out on a show tonight. What you telling me? Who's running sound for you? Let's give him some props.
Gabriel Gonzalez.
Gabe Gonzalez,
over there.
Thanks for pulling one.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's rocking it out.
Cool. And who's playing down there tonight?
The Long Road. It's actually a band that I've never seen before, but the drummer is from a band called Vadent. Vaden has been a band that's been playing around here for a long time. So Bruce, the drummer, has got a new band, is playing down there tonight. And the opening act is Sweetgrass, which is another local favorite of ours.
Cool.
Kevin Redlick leading the band on guitar.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
Playing a little acoustic set tonight.
It's nice
and enjoyable. We put out the lights, the candles, the whole bit.
Well, so after the radio show, you know, I've got an appointment. It might take me a half hour. I hear Lyle Levitt's doing a private show in town that I've got to get to, but I might not be able to make it there. Maybe we'll go down to Last Exit Live.
I like being the choice after Lyle Levitt. It's like, well, Levitt, Last Exit Live. That's good.
Hey, you're in the same mix. You both have two L's in your name.
There you go.
Lyle Levitt, Last Exit. So let's talk about Jelly Beans Audio real quick. Yeah. So you are a pro audio engineer and record producer as well. You do a lot of production work through Jelly Beans Audio, but part of what you do, as I understand it, is while you've got a band as a captured audience on stage at the Last Exit Live, you can hit the record button, their show, and then say, hey, by the way, if you'd like a live record, pay me to mix the record, and we can turn this into a product.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of live recording.
I do a lot.
Because you're designed for it. And then you do a lot of post-production at your place?
I did, and I did a lot of live recording before Last Exit, actually. I have been for years. And it's just kind of been one of those things when I first started that I wanted to be able to keep my mixing chops up. And I'm not in the studio that much because I do a lot of live shows. So I've been recording for nearly 10 years here in town.
Right.
A lot of local acts.
Well, let's trickle backwards, too, because when you and I actually met, when you came to town, it was the first time we kind of crossed paths, and it was in the recording studio environment. The thing that impressed me the most about you at that point, because you hadn't been doing a lot of recording yet, was your customer relations abilities, you know, and it seems like in the people coming up in the studio world, that's not something they're aware of.
Sure.
So you'd already come from owning your own bar back in the East Coast.
I did.
So you'd run a whole operation.
And I did. Before that, I was I've done a lot of things.
You were in hotel.
Hotel restaurant management. I was a food and beverage director of a hotel.
This was in North Carolina?
South Carolina. South Carolina. I started working as my first managerial job was a restaurant supervisor. And I was.
How old were you?
16 when I started that, I think. 16. Yeah,
tourist town. Like so, yeah, I mean, a lot of big.
It's the only thing that we have over there. So, you know, there's 12 mile by 5 mile island, 144 golf courses, some ridiculous number of tennis courts, you know. I mean,
and that was then.
That was then, right. I wouldn't even recognize it now. And so it was, I worked in the Crown Plaza chain, which is the hotel and restaurant, the resort chain of Holiday Inn. And we were the number one hotel of that chain.
Wow.
So it was a great experience to be involved in. And it really started me out in the managerial side. So I've kind of always been managing people since then.
And for kind of in a way that brought you into entertainment, because you are entertaining guests from a performance point of view. How did this and when did this, or how did music or music path cross this kind of a work path? How did you end up working in audio and in wanting to work in music as opposed to running your own bar?
Well, basically needing to have a sound guy that I let go. So
I'm going to learn how to do this.
Yeah, well, I had to. You know, right. Yeah, and there's a lot of bar owners that know how to do sound because they mm-hmm. let their sound guy go, and that's kind of how it was. And I did, and I fell in love with it. It was the best part of my day, and I worked a really, really long day, and it was the best part of the day. I look forward to it every time.
Hmm.
It was you know, I've done a lot of things and experimented with what I thought was my talents and my skills. You know, it's always been in a speaking role, a manager role, and a lot of times it was sales. And mm-hmm. I grew up in sales mm-hmm. and did that. You know, after food and beverage, I was a retail manager, and I managed some men's clothing stores for a while. And from there, I got hired out of a men's clothing store by one of my clients at the men's clothing store, ran a financial planning business. And so he was like, I came in here for a sport coat, and $5,000 later, how did you do that? And I explained in the sales process, and I understand. I'm like, you just told me what you wanted. He's like, I told you you wanted a $2 sports coat. I'm like, no, that was your desire coming in, but you really told me what you wanted, and that was a new wardrobe. And so after that, he was like, I need you to come work for me. And so I studied, and I got my license, and I did that. And I went and tried to be a financial planner, which I thought I wanted to do all my life.
Right.
But what I didn't know is that there was this thing I did as a middle school kid. I was that PA guy. I was the guy that ran the PA in the gym. I was the guy that ran the PA, you know, in the football stadium, right, up in the top of the booth. And, you know, I was that. And I never thought there was anything of it. I just liked it. You know, people are like, oh, you got stuck doing that. I'm like, I really didn't get stuck doing it. I enjoyed doing it.
Right.
And then the next opportunity I got to do it was when I owned my own restaurant, and I had to do it because I didn't have a sound guy. And I did it every night. I loved it.
Fascinating. So now it really is encompassed your professional life. Everything else is a degree of that.
Right. And that was my wife's choice. Absolutely.
Oh.
I chose every career up to this one. My wife says this is the only career that she chose. And she did. She's like, you know what? Everybody liked what you were doing. Everybody liked the way you sounded. You didn't know anything about what you were doing. But you didn't know what buttons you were pressing. But it sounded really good. So maybe
go learn that.
Maybe
stuff.
You should go learn this and then do it for real. And wow. So that's how we ended up here.
Thanks, Chanel.
Yeah,
that worked out well.
It worked out really well.
Well, how about that? Let's talk about music.
Sure.
Before we get into music that defined you, I'd love to talk mm-hmm. about the music that impacted my guest's life, Shane, and we'll mm-hmm. get to that. But there's a song between us that I want to play.
Oh yeah.
When one of the I've actually mentioned you on the show, maybe not by name every time, but there I might mention there's this guy I know. Mm-hmm. Because the name isn't relevant to the story, and right. sometimes I'm sure I mention your name, but I'll mention there's this guy who calls me when there's this great band that's going to be coming through town that he knows Otto would love to see this show. He needs right. to be down here. It's like, you should be here on Wednesday, you should be here on Friday, whatever. And one of the first times you did that to me was a band called Earl Greyhound, mm-hmm. and that I went to see, and luckily you'd given me a copy of a record to listen to first, and mm-hmm. I was familiar with the material, so then, you know, hey, they had a night off in Denver, in between Denver and another gig, they're driving all the way down from Colorado just for the night to play, you know, tomorrow or whatever it was. I came to the show, and I was blown away. It just mm-hmm. totally blew me away. I took that song, and I put it as a ringtone, their first song off that record, and put it as a ringtone on my phone.
If anybody's ever heard that first song off that record, Soft Targets, yeah.
Well, that's what we're going to play, called SOS. But awesome. What's funny is then when I ran the recording show from my recording studio, you were involved in that process as I brought mm-hmm. you on to run the camera crews and the live switching.
Right.
And so often I would be out of the room and my phone would be laying there. And if anyone called me, this song would play off on the broadcast. And you shared that with the band because you're still in communication with these guys as Absolutely. You book them on occasion, right?
They haven't been around in a while, but we have talked. Our good friend, Paul Cardone, Mr. PC, Mayor of Tempe, has always just reached out to him and said, right. Hey, we're still thinking about you. We're still talking about you. Come into town. Come see us.
That's pretty cool. They're a great band. So I want to go ahead and play that cut because it hasn't. I have gone through three phones and made sure that was still my ringtone.
Awesome.
And maybe it's because it's one of those things where I want to make sure I know my phone's ringing. I don't want something a little pretty where I wonder if my phone is ringing.
Me?
I like to know my phone is ringing. So with SOS by Earl Greyhound, I know it's ringing.
I pull these reins, walk these roads once before. And at first I couldn't place it, but now I'm sure of it. Down the street, now it occurs to me. There should be pairs of shoes hung from my. Waving my
Now, I would happily play the rest of that song, right. But in all fairness, by now I would have answered my phone or it would have gone to voicemail.
You probably haven't heard the last part of that song for a while, have you?
You know what? I actually have. I still have this record in my car as well. And I remember seeing that show. I was, to use one of Sam's lines, you know, my pants turned brown. Right. I mean, I couldn't believe that the three-piece band sounded just like that record.
Exactly.
With the same energy and the power. It was an incredible, incredible show.
Do you remember how big that kick drum was?
Yeah.
He's playing like a marching drum. He's like a 30-inch kick drum on stage.
Boy, could he play. Oh, and they were all singing. It was an incredible little band.
What's really up, Big it. Rick? I heard you, Big Rick. I know you're listening.
That's right. Yeah. So that record holds a dear, you know, place in my heart.
Me too.
You know?
Me too. Yeah, and, it came from dear. I passed it on to you. And right. that's really what it is. I can't even take credit for that at all. Uh-huh. I passed it on. From you to you from our friend Paul Cardone, Mr. PC.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, PC, because I've dug that band, just really, really dug them. And so let's get back to you a little bit. Let's go all the way back to when you were a little kid running around the house. You know, what song was the first one your mom told you to shut up?
Oh,
you know,
that was Michael Jackson. And you got to take sort of anybody who knows me. Just imagine me at 2 feet tall. Diaper butt with an afro, and I am Michael. I was little Michael. I mean, it was perfect. So little Michael Jackson singing that. My first 45 actually pretty young thing.
Yeah, that's PYT. Hilarious.
And I played that thing over and over and over again. And yeah, to the point where, you know, A side started to skip it so bad it was started to scratch. And
did
I
you get a second copy?
No, I just played the instrumental on the backside because I need the words. So there was an instrumental on the backside, side B. So
wow, I didn't realize that they did that. I don't think I had a record like that where they gave you the instrumental to sing along to on the B side.
It was great. It was a great one.
I wonder if that was a way to save the day because they didn't have a second cut for the B side or they didn't want to spend two songs on one record.
Like Ray Parker Jr., Ghostbusters, 45, instrumental on the other side.
Interesting. I had no idea. That's fascinating. Well, and as you grew up a little bit, I mean, you were at that point 2 years old. That certainly didn't say, Mom, give me a guitar. So, that might have been a recognition of music moving you, and you recall that. But what about music that made you think, oh, my God, this music is something to grab onto? What kind of made you gravitate toward a music career from music?
Well, it was kind of like I was a kid who always kind of just fell in love with the solitude of listening to music for my own reasons. Sticking the headphones on, and my dad used to have these giant white RCA headphones, and there were just these big things that sit on your ears. And that and
my dad used to put his headphones on and put his feet up and go away. We loved it.
The world would love, and that's what I did. I would go away. I would just go away. I would be there.
Look, Dad's smiling. Good, everything's good. He's happy.
Yeah, like that's great. You do that for hours and hours and hours. And you know, at the time it was weird. It was a music connection between my father, but we actually never really had much of a music connection.
Right.
Besides, I knew he had an incredible record collection. Mm-hmm. Never played it. And he's one of those things. I might have told you this story. So he had this thing. He collected records as an artist, their whole collection. So every Supremes record ever made, he bought them all.
More of a collector than anything else.
Exactly. And he played them twice. Played them once to listen to it. The second he played it on a reel and reel, never played it again. So he has every Dionne Warwick record, all this stuff.
Wow.
He's got that he just, you know, he had it and reel to reel. Because
does he still have it?
Absolutely.
And does he want to unload it?
No, it's going to be mine. Don't even try it. He knows it.
If you're listening to that, I know somebody who wants
it's
that.
Mine. Yeah, me.
Who sells it.
It's so for me, you know, music was, I knew he had a connection there, but we didn't listen to a lot of music. And then so I just kind of listened to music as a sense of solitude because it's just what my personal time was.
Right.
And then I got into everything. I grew up in a really eclectic environment. You know, it was a well-to-do environment. There was a lot of different type of influences going on there. So everything from, and it was the South, so it was country and rock and roll, and there was a lot of R&B in there. You know, hip hop was big. I listened to a lot of things, but rock really kind of took it for me. And I was a big fan of GNR, Appetite for Destruction. I stood in line for that that record when it came out.
Right.
But what changed everything, it was Nirvana. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely Nirvana. The first time I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit, the drums hit me to the point where I'm like, no other record had I heard that. I was like, those drums sound really good. How did they do that? I want to know how they did that. I wish I was a fly in the room when they did that. Right. That was the first time.
All of a sudden, that was the first time the sound of a record got you.
Yeah, that like captured me to the point, just made me curious
right.
a little bit. And every time I heard it, that's what I would think about. I would like, how did they do that? I'm like, why is that drum sound right. different than other records do?
You know, it's fascinating to me that the first, there are two songs that stopped me going through a room because I heard them for the first time and saw them on a video. Mm-hmm. That tune, the first time I saw that, I stopped talking to whoever I was talking to and just watched it till it was done. And I was like, I had to make sure I knew what it was. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I got to check that out.
Yeah, you got
it. There was that one. And then the first single from Jagged Little Pill. I was walking through the house, going to the store, and TV was on. I went to pick the remote up to stop it, and her first cut, you know, was playing. And I stopped, and I listened to the whole dang song, caught the name. First stop was the record store, and I bought the album. But it's like, it's amazing when a song can do that to you.
Yeah, it was, it was truly powerful. And then from there, it kind of just went to MTV Unplugged was the next thing that came out. And I really knew that like MTV Unplugged was something that I couldn't miss any episode of it, from no matter who the artist was.
Right.
And everyone was great, from Mariah Carey to Pearl Jam.
I've been to your house in the modern day, and the only thing on the TV 24/7 is Palladium. It's like, you walk in, there's a concert on. Even if no one's in the room, there's a concert in the living room going 24/7.
Absolutely.
You know, that's explains a lot about you, my friend.
Yeah, it does.
So let's spin that record from Nirvana.
Awesome.
And so I think probably Smells Like Teen Spirit's the cut I was talking about.
Yeah, man. I mean, just those. I mean, you hear that kick drum and that snare, and it's just it's what everything rock needed to be right then. It needed to be that.
Oh yeah, they took over with it.
Yeah.
So here's a little Smells Like Teen Spirit.
listening to Auto D coming at you live.
And that was Smells Like Teen Spirit with Nirvana. Song that changed your life.
It did. I mean, the funny thing about it is I love those drums, but Steve Albini, you know, when he did, you know, In Utero, it's just like those drums are even more amazing. So, but yeah.
Well, now let's get to something a little bit more modern. Since you work with so many groups and bring so many groups into town, you work with local bands, touring acts. You know, what's something that inspires you these days? What's something you're listening to?
You know, Dead Sara. That's what's going on right now. It's a band that came into town probably about a year ago. Almost actually more than that. It was a matter of their record got shelved timing wise. You know how that happens. You know, it's like supposed to come out in October. It doesn't. And it's like, okay, now you're in the holiday season. It can't come out and it's got to get shelved for a while. So they had a new record coming out, but their old record was doing well. You know, we thought it was doing well, and they came in, and it was one of those artists that's all, like, first thought was, man, I wish I was here because you should see this. And the second thought was, I mean, within 8 bars, this, you saw the X Factor. It was amazing. He was like, this is fun. This is amazing. This is an amazing show. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And Brandon comes up in the sound booth and he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. We don't have to say anything to each other. We've been working together for 9 years. You know, I'm looking at me like,
this is something special.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And we knew it, the whole set. I mean, it was, it's probably one of the best shows I've seen in years.
Wow.
Amazing band, amazing artist. You know, she's got this talent that encompasses so many artists that we do know of, and you know, from Katie Tunstall to Grace Potter, you know, and she's got you know, the attitude and presence of Joan Jett up there on stage, and you're just like, this is amazing. And like, one, how can you sing like this? Your voice has got to be shot after this night, and it usually is, but I love that band right now. So they have a new record out. You know, they came through. They played Valley Bar a few months ago. I'm a supporter of not only Last Exit, obviously, I work there, but pretty much every local venue around town. We want to make sure they see the best new music coming in town. So Valley Bar put on Dead Sara, and hopefully they'll be back again soon. And if they are, check them out. You cannot miss this show.
Cool.
You won't be sad if you did.
Well, you mentioned to me, what was the name of the album? Pleasure to Meet You, I think, is the new record they have out.
Yeah, Pleasure to Meet You, yeah.
And you said, I asked you about what songs you might like, and when you mentioned those guys, you said any song of that record, you were naming a few things. So I went and checked that record out and picked my favorite song from that record.
Nice.
At least from the got to make it all about me, man.
Of course.
But having not seen the group, just having the snippets like on iTunes to sample tunes.
Right.
The song that grabbed me was Mona Lisa. Are you familiar with that track?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
That's a really, really cool song.
That's an awesome track.
And do you think that tune represents the band pretty well?
I think, yeah. That tune, well, plus, Suicidal, the first track on there. I mean, that's definitely a really good representation of what the band sounds like. They go everywhere, mm-hmm. and that's why you can never put them in a category, which is great, but you get what the band's about from that mm-hmm. vocal, from that guitar, mm-hmm. from the presence of the energy on that record, and that carries through consistently throughout all their music, even though it may switch from being more.
How many people are on stage?
Five. Okay. Four. Sorry.
Because one sits on the floor.
I'm trying to remember.
One's on a riser. Does he count?
No, it is five. It's two guitar players, bass, drums.
Drummer. She sings.
Yeah.
And does she play anything? Or?
She does pick up her guitar. Yeah.
Once in a while.
She does have a guitar. So.
Cool.
That's great.
Well, then we're going to listen to
Dead Sara.
Dead Sara's Mona Lisa.
Awesome.
Cigarette, I'm a lover of
You're listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
Okay. And that was Dead Sarah.
Absolutely it was.
And now I'm going to pick up the phone.
Are you going to do that?
And we're going to make a phone call.
Awesome.
And this has been the most telephone, technologically, you know, what's the word? I can't even talk. It's a struggle. So I have this phone number, and I call it, and I'd like to get Sam on the line. And this time, for some reason, his phone is forwarding to another phone. And I've had three conversations with the gentleman that isn't the person I'm trying to reach. And so now we're going to call a secret number to get into Sam. And we're going to go live as we do this. So you're all going to hear what happens. Oh, no.
This is going to be great. It's going to be a pizza joint. Watch it.
Oh, what Sam did.
Hey, you know what? You know what? You know what? We're already... That's what I thought. So we're already live. You want to grab him?
Hey, George. Okay, hold on a second. Thanks. I'm going to put him on my phone.
Thanks. I'm going to put him on Joyce's phone.
I got to get him off of forwarding to Roger's phone.
That's okay. This is kind of fun. It's entertaining radio.
I wonder what it would be like if I accidentally forwarded my
phone
to somebody else.
How do you do that? That's really cool. Hey, Sam.
Hello.
Sam. I found you. You can't hide from me.
Oh, but hey, Rob.
At least I got you. This is Otto.
Hey, Otto.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what was going on.
I didn't know what was going on. But the whole time I'm playing a song and I'm like, I'm getting the wrong guy on the phone. And I'm like, I called Sam. He's, no, you don't. Yes, I do. So anyway, I hunted you down. I caught you. You can't get off the hook that easy. Yeah. You can't just forward your phone and think you're going to get out of a gig. I'm going to lock you down. So we are live, and I wanted to tell you that my guest tonight is Brian Stubblefield. He runs a live audio company in town. He's a big fan.
Huge fan, sir. Huge fan.
And so I told him I hinted about a big show coming up in Miami, but I figured I'd wait for you to tell us a little bit about what's going on down there. So how about filling me in a little? I think the list of who's playing is filled out a little. The whole thing's hit the press, and tickets are for sale. You want to fill in some blanks on that show?
Well, as you and I are speaking, and good afternoon, my dear friend.
Yes, thanks. Glad we connected. That was quite fun.
What's going on is that, as you and I are speaking, the announcement has been made, and it's all over the place. And we just got in... This afternoon, we got Phil Collins.
All right. Cool.
Amazing.
Phil's a big guy.
Yeah, he's going to be. He lives down there, but his charity event is joining up with ours.
Oh, fantastic.
And isn't that fantastic?
That is awesome.
And it's going to be, as you well know, the 21st of November. Mm-hmm. Joyce is leaving tonight.
Every time I talk to you, Joyce is leaving. She doesn't want to talk to me. I want to catch her before when she's back in Phoenix.
He said every time he talks to me, you leave me town, Joyce. So yeah, she's leaving.
Well, I had her on the phone.
She said she's a red eyed woman.
Yeah.
So
she's a red eyed woman. Well, I'll catch her. I'll phone her. We'll connect.
I don't know. You heard about Phil Collins? Is that cool?
I think that's cool. I think that's cool.
Oh, I think he's clarifying whether he has the authority to mention that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I know he was clarifying that. And since I'm the authority, here I am.
Perfect.
We're going to be making an announcement tomorrow or Wednesday. Phil has a foundation in Miami that he started overseas called Little Dreamers. And they take children and they audition them from in the neighborhood, like Overtown, where Sam grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And they give them, in essence, a scholarship and an opportunity to learn an instrument and play music. They teach them free of charge. They have performances in that. And Phil's organization is coming in. We are embracing them. We are embracing
awesome.
Phil and Orlean. And they are going to be at Salute the Soul Man.
That's
going
to be fantastic.
Phil Collins will be at Salute the Soul Man, along with his son Nick, who's going to be playing
cool.
with some of the other Little Dreamers. They're
right.
going to be opening Salute.
Cool.
And we're just about to make the announcement. And I have to tell you, Sam and Phil have been friends for about 30 years. They've performed together at, when Phil was had his NARIS Man of the Year Award. The Sam was asked to perform. They certainly performed together at the Atlantic 40th. There's amazing footage on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends, like I say, for 30 years. And I particularly find what is going on with this petition garbage so offensive.
I know. And that somebody thinks they're being funny.
That anyone could think that they had the right to interfere with this man's talent, his God-given gift.
Have you seen that, Brian?
And his legacy in that? I mean, how dare?
Yeah, it's just somebody. I saw a great quote. Someone was just saying that it just represents just how bored and how unhappy this gentleman is with his life. But he started a petition to stop Phil Collins' comeback on Facebook. It's just stupid.
Well, and people are signing
it. I know. And I don't even think they're thinking about it. Someone's getting a chuckle and they let it go. It's just stupid. It's absolutely stupid. But it'll go away. Well, it'll have no impact.
Yeah,
we're gonna have our say about it this week, because you don't let friends have to go through that kind of mess.
Yeah, that's crappy. Well, back to the show. This big salute to Sam.
You mean the one that I'm going on your show right now to ask you to come and be in the truck and get it in the can for us? That show.
I'm going to be in Miami recording this stuff, and it's going to be a dream gig. I'm going to have the time of my life. It's going to be fantastic.
November 21st, bud. So
I think we need to go down around the 13th and send some pre-production meetings on the beach. We've got a lot to talk about to get ready. I mean, there's a lot of thinking. I mean, because there's knobs to talk about to turn.
I don't know how to break it to you. The truck won't be there until Thursday. The
well, I got
to
scope out the parking space.
Right?
I mean, we got to put some orange cones up. You know,
survey. That's right.
We got to get ready. Need an architectural firm.
I was talking about scoping out the parking lot for the truck.
Yeah,
it's all about the pre-production.
Well, listen, I also saw on the bill, Sting is going to be doing the show. John Bon Jovi's going to be doing the show. And then today, I think I saw a post that it's been confirmed that Don Henley's going to be doing the show.
Yes, Don Henley is absolutely confirmed.
That's going to be fantastic.
Be show. And, you know, Sam and Don recorded together. Sam had a song on the Building the Perfect Beast album that was actually supposed to be the B-side of after the Boys of Summer Gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the problem was that it was a song called Must Not Be Drinking Enough.
Right.
The Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
Right.
Okay. And so
that was a great song, though.
We never got the ride. Yeah.
I enjoyed that record. Well, Sam told me another story this morning. I was talking to him a little bit, and he mentioned that The Long Run, the song, was a song that was originally written and pitched for Sam and Dave. And I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was the intention. Well, and the thing about it is Don has offered to sing an Eagles song with Sam, and I'm afraid to ask him to do Long Run because I'm totally can't stand it.
Oh, and you know what, though? When he told me that story, I pictured it with Sam and Dave with a funkier groove, and I could totally see how they were trying to write that for Sam on top. And it was like, oh, my God, that would have been a killing little track for them to do.
Yeah, well, the other one that we're looking at hopefully doing, and we've got the ask out to Barry Gibb, and I was told that if there's a few musicians in Miami that if we're willing to have them come participate in playing it, that he would be he very well might consider doing it. He had written the song Islands in the Stream, which became a pretty big hit for Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers as a duet. He had actually written that with the intention of with Otis Redding.
Oh, wow.
He had written it for Otis, and unfortunately, of course, Otis passed away and never got the song and never got to record it, but it absolutely was written for Otis Redding by Barry Gibb.
Wow.
So we've asked Barry if he would come perform it with probably the guy that was the closest and certainly as good as, if not the next best thing to O, which would be Sam, of course.
Right.
So we're waiting to see.
Cool. Well, it's going to be just fantastic.
Cool.
So tickets are, if people are listening and want to buy tickets, where is the best place?
Tickets are available. General admission tickets are available if you go on Live Nation or Ticketmaster and you put in the Salute Soul Man or Salute Sam Moore. And it's the the Fillmore Jackie Gleason Theater, mm-hmm. Miami Beach. Hey, it's on their website.
And
tickets are available.
What can you tell me about this? Because I saw another post, and the cheerleaders on the football field spelled out the word Sam. And the con it was posted along with the building. Was it Soul and Arts and Music? And this is a building?
Soul Arts and Music Foundation.
Okay, a foundation. And it's called the Sam.
The foundation. Yes, it's affectionately called the Sam. It just worked out that way. I looked at it and I went, wait a minute. If you put S-A-M to it's the Sam. So they, anyhow.
That's fantastic.
The Soul Arts and Music Foundation is partnering with Florida International University to develop curriculum, and they're starting with Sam and his legacy peers to prepackage curriculum to go back into the schools to hopefully reculturalize all the kids that are in school that have lost their music education program. Mm-hmm.
So this is something that's under development.
$30 million. It's a partnership effort that we're doing with FIU to develop the curriculum, and we're actually starting, they say charity begins at home. So the model program is being installed Overtown, Miami, which is where Sam grew up, was educated and graduated both grammar school and high school.
So I might not be coming back from Miami. I might be developing a curriculum.
This radio show.
I can find a way to stay.
You can do red eyes. Yeah. You can do red eyes too.
Nice. We'll be seeing more of each other. Just be on planes sleeping.
Yeah, so. That's right. Red eyes are us. Hold on a second. I'm going to give you back to himself. Hold on.
Great.
You were talking to the right person.
That was fun. That was
like,
I know, Sam. I know what happened. You had to get on the other phone and apologize for all my phone calls to Roger. Right? That's what happened. So
yeah, I ain't giving Roger nothing.
That's just funny. How was your evening? Good.
My evening is good. Tomorrow, starting Wednesday, all the interviews and all that stuff is going to start.
Oh man, this is so exciting.
We'll probably be tired. Yeah,
this is so exciting.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think John Lennon and Sam should do a duet on this one?
Oh wow!
I think they should sometime.
That's amazing.
We did. New Year's Eve. You know that?
No, I do not.
Brian didn't know. Yeah, Sam asked me to come out last New Year's Eve at Talking Stick when he was playing, and after "Auld Lang Syne," all the balloons are falling. Right. He started singing "Imagine," and I snuck on in the whole costume thing and took over. Halfway through the verse, and
it was
people
wonderful.
Freaked out. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
So, how many singers do you know that got to do a duet with Sam Moore?
Yeah, right.
That's like I can't believe I had to put a wig on. Pretend I was John.
I can't believe I didn't take a wig on to do that.
But if I'd like to see John Bon Jovi's face when John Lennon walks on that stage.
They're like, Sam,
what are you doing? Someone's rushing the stage, and he looks like John Lennon.
I know.
It would be funny.
That gets you on any stage, right? That's the
I'll be in the truck.
Backstage
I'll have to bring Brian down to run the truck so I can sneak out with my wigs and do the show.
Right.
Well, are you going to have an opportunity to go down to Miami a few days early and relax before the show?
Yeah, I will. I'll probably go down 18, 19, 20, 21. I'll probably go down on this 17th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you get rested up and get acclimated to all that humidity.
Yeah, get rested and
impact your voice.
Yeah, because by the time I get down there and get rested a couple of days, whatever, I'm going to be.
This is going to be the time of your life.
And I got to go.
It's going to be the time of your life.
I mean, I got to go then.
There's so many people that are going to be coming up to you to say, Sam, I haven't seen you in so long. Everybody who's not on that bill.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, everybody.
We're trying to protect all that.
But everybody who's not on that bill, who's finding out about the show now, is going to be calling you saying, I want to be on that show.
I know.
And there's not going to be enough room, Sam. So they're going to come down to the party.
I know.
And you're going to be saying hello to everybody you haven't seen in 20 years for days before and after that show.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a heck of a time.
They're doing all they can to keep that from happening. So we're going to probably have a few people to square it off because I got rehearsals. I got to learn few songs or many songs with I gotta learn songs
right.
for Bon Jovi.
Right.
I gotta learn songs with Sting.
Right.
I gotta sing a song
got a lot
with,
of work to do.
With
Michael McDonald's
with
playing
Michael.
Too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Michael is gonna be playing, so I'm just gonna just have to learn all these songs, and they gotta get an arranger in there to start doing the doing the strings and all
right.
that stuff. So
It's going to be
get
fun.
Keys and all that stuff. So I'm going to
so excited because I feel like you deserve this salute to Soul Man, and it's just going to be an incredible night. And to be able to help capture that and present that for future generations is an honor.
Well,
I'm excited about it. It's going to be fun.
Thank you.
All right, big guy. Well, I'm going to have to let you go. And like I say, you got to apologize to Roger for me.
I shall do that.
It's a little later in New York right now than it is in Arizona. So
ooh,
next week will be, what, the 11th or 12th? What is next week, around?
Yeah, next week will be
13th.
Yeah,
13th,
like be the 14th or be the 15th on Monday, 14th, I suppose.
Right. 15th on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we'll talk again then.
Cool, you got it. Yeah, so get some rest.
Yeah, we'll talk then.
And I'm going to hunt down Joyce when she gets back in town because we got some details to cover for this trip. I got
to
make sure I'm ready for you.
Work
it's a big deal.
Yeah. Right, got to work on something. Yeah, right.
All right, my friends.
Can we get that going?
Have a great night,
so
Sam.
So deal?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Wow, what is he doing there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. What was that?
He's what thinking about a long-lost cousin of mine.
Oh, really?
Clyde Stubblefield.
He's your cousin?
Wow.
Did you know Clyde Stubblefield, Sam?
Oh, he's great with James, right?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, see, now, Brian, you bring that up now and the show's over and you bring that up.
I don't feel like I can claim that. I've never
met
him.
You know who Clyde first played for before he played for James?
No, who?
He's played for Sam and Dave. Good evening, gentlemen.
Really?
You're related to
in
Sam
Florida,
and Dave.
In Miami, Florida, yes.
Clyde
first played for Sam and Dave.
How do you like that?
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't know that, did you?
Now, that's a perfect bill for a show right now.
No, they're schooling you.
Look at that.
Well, thank you for that bit, Sam. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, buddy.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time.
Good to see you. Good to hear
you. Anytime, and I'll talk to you next time.
You got it. Take care.
Have a good evening. Okay.
You too. Take care. Wow.
I did not know that. I called my dad. I'm like, hey.
You got to come on my show and learn that your relatives played with my clients.
That's crazy.
Sam and Dave.
I call my father and be like, hey, thanks for not telling me that.
Brian, we got to work it out so that you can, come down with me to the Miami gig. I mean, you're a live recording guy.
I am.
I could probably use the help.
You know, I might have to right now say I'm sorry to all my clients for the third weekend of November.
Because
I'm out.
Tell them it's Thanksgiving. Tell them it's family stuff.
Sorry.
You know,
what are
you
gonna go?
Well, listen, man, thanks so much for coming in tonight.
I appreciate you having me, man.
You're one of those characters I could have on four or five times and we wouldn't cover everything we could talk about.
We just keep chatting.
It was great to have you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.